You're listening to The Court Report with Princeton women's basketball head coach Courtney Banghart.
Welcome to the third episode of The Court Report. I'm Jerry Price and joined again by Princeton University head women's basketball coach Courtney Banghart. And coach, welcome.
Thanks a lot.
So a lot to talk about after two games last weekend, and or last week, the win over Seton Hall and the loss at home against Georgia Tech. Takes the Tigers to 2-1 heading into Thanksgiving, and I guess we should start with the game against Seton Hall, where that's the kind of game that you really like to play. I mean, it's 45 minutes from here against a team in the Big East, and it's always going to be a physical team. It's always going to be a challenge, and you go up there and you get a win. Talk a little bit about that one.
Yeah, that was probably one of the better basketball games I've been a part of, and I've been a part of a lot of basketball games. The grit, the toughness, the on the road against a very good team. I think a team that will be in the NCAA tournament. A possession game. We were down eight. We were up eight. There were so many turning points, and we had to just kind of roll with it. And it was one of the more fun games I've been a part of for sure.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch that one. I was only following that one on the live stats, and it was. Those don't always tell you exactly how the game is going.
Yeah.
But one thing that was pretty clear is that it wasn't really a two-point game. It was a five-point game, and they got a three right at the end.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but, you know, just the idea of having the opportunity to play another team in New Jersey.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I give a lot of credit to Seton Hall. I mean, we want to keep that series going and going and going to bring good basketball to our state and to keep it in. And, you know, to your point, it was a five-point win. But at the same time, I looked at the kids at the end of the third quarter and I said, you know, we're right there, guys, and we haven't hit threes yet, you know. And I looked at Bella and Gabrielle, who were starting the fourth quarter, and I was like, it's time for you guys to get going. And the first three possessions of the fourth quarter were three-pointers, so that really opened up the game. And they made me look good and looking to stretch the defense. But, you know, to play in-state rivals and to be able to have New Jersey basketball featured at two of the best teams in the state, it's a game we really love to have.
And then fast forward to Sunday's loss to Georgia Tech. But even with the loss, there were a lot of good signs in that game, I thought. One thing is, Georgia Tech was huge. Did you know how big they were going to be?
We did. They're huge and they're good. I mean, last year they were an NIT finalist, and they didn't really graduate anybody. And instead, they're now starting two freshmen. So that's a really, really, really good team. And they switched on everything, and there were no mismatches on the floor. I mean, they're just big and good, and there's a lot of them. So that was a really big battle, and I thought we battled really tough. I hate the word loss. It sounds so... Sounds so defeating, but there's a lot of, you know, we got better, we got tougher, and next one.
I mean, one thing I noticed in that game, though, is that it wasn't like, you know, oftentimes when you play a game like that where you find yourself in a situation where you're competitive, and then they sort of pull away a little bit at the end.
Yeah.
Where you come out of the game saying, oh, we were right there. It was kind of like the men's game against St. Joe's, where that game wasn't really like a 15-point game. That was a much closer game,
yes.
And then St. Joe's sort of pulled away at the end. Your game, they sort of pulled away in the second quarter,
yeah.
Then you figured out what to do, and then made it a game again. And I think that was like a little more impressive, I think, because you did have to figure things out on the fly. And with a team that's got a couple of young players who are, you know, not just the two freshmen, but, you know, key points of that game. It's two freshmen, two sophomores.
Absolutely.
And they seem to make adjustments themselves.
You know, at halftime, we talked about a couple of the fans asked what I said at halftime. And at halftime, we talked about how we were doing a good job breaking their pressure. We weren't doing a good job getting the shot we wanted. And so to look at not only the breaking the pressure was taken care of, and now it's getting the shot we want. And that's hard when you don't see a lot of pressure like that. We saw it all game. And I'm going to give our team a lot of credit. They locked in. We scored 5 points in the second quarter and basically lost a single-point possession game to a very good ACC team. So obviously you have to score more than 5 points in a quarter, but their adjustments were sound and also showed the grit. I mean, this team wasn't going to back down. And I got a text from Annie Traction, class 2016, right after the game that said, Coach, we've got a group of fighters. And she's over there in Greece watching our game, but I think she said it best. We do it. We have a group of fighters.
But also that game, I mean, you had two possessions to make it a one possession, two chances to make it a one possession game within the final maybe 2-3 minutes.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like the final 8 minutes. And, you know, so, okay, shots don't go in and that happens. But still, like, to be in that position against that team, because that team's built to play in the ACC.
No doubt. And a very good, I mean, they'll finish in the top four, I think, at the ACC. They'll be a tournament team for sure. They'll be in the top 25, I would bet, after this week coming up. And actually their next opponent is Penn down in the Bahamas. So I guess we'll also see where Penn's at. But, you know, it's a great battle. It's what we want in our gym. We wanted to seize the opportunity. I thought we showed well in terms of what we're made of. And as I told them in the locker room after the game, that game will get you better if you decide that it will. If you just sort of take it as, hey, we played pretty well against a good team and move on, then we're not going to get better from it. And if we want to be ready to beat that team the next time we get that opportunity, which could very well be hopefully in the postseason.
And that's why you schedule games like this, that games like that. And as you put together a schedule, do you take into account playing two teams like that so close together, or you just have to play when the dates present themselves?
A little bit of both. You know, we want to play regional, the best regional teams we can, and we'll take any, if an ACC team is going to come to our gym, we'll play them whenever they want. But we want to be able to play, I think both of those two teams this week will be in the NCAA tournament without being on the bubble. I think they'll just be strongly in, and that says a lot.
Talk a little bit about the, you know, you played eight players against Georgia Tech, basically.
Mm-hmm.
A couple other kids had maybe a minute or 2 minutes or 3 minutes, but you had basically an eight-player group.
And Sydney Jordan being out, a starter being out. You know, she's like, we joke as a team, she's kind of our security blanket. And so she was out with a concussion. And so to not have your best defensive player against a team like Georgia Tech. So I think we would have been nine, but yeah, we were eight.
But, like, you know, even if it's nine, I mean, that's at this time of year, that's kind of fairly set for a rotation, I would think.
Yeah, you know, I think that there's still, you know, where people are still figuring out. I think McKenna Hare, the freshman from Charlotte, I think she's getting closer and closer. You know, and we've got the stability of the upperclassmen are being pushed in a good way, and they're allowing others to thrive. I mean, I feel like I've got a lot of weapons. I'm not sure I have a rotation yet, but I've got a lot of weapons, and that's a really comforting thing as a coach.
So what about when you have an Abby Myers and a Carly Littlefield? What do you see from them in terms of being freshmen, playing with the team that has the two really established seniors, you know, Tia Legend, Leslie Robinson, and then, of course, the star is Bella Allery.
Mm-hmm.
You probably don't want to call her that. But
yeah,
you know,
no, she's comfortable with that.
And then the two sort of trying to fit in but also, you know, make their mark. So you have a situation where, you know, Abby Myers her whole life has been been the primary scoring option on whatever team she's played on. You want her to still play with that kind of fire and that kind of attitude. And then at the same time, she has to find her way into what works for your team. I mean, is that really what this is about at this time of year?
Absolutely. And she missed almost a month because of a little bit of a stress reaction in her legs because she's been going so hard. And so we're still figuring, she's still figuring out her spot in terms of when to take over and when to defer. And that's part of the maturation process. But with them, you get fearlessness. With them, you don't want kids in there that are thinking, who's next? You want guys in there that are thinking, win. And I think the winning spirit of her and Carly are at the level that help us right away, and then I think they also have the playmaking ability that gives you a chance in a variety of possessions. I think Abby on the defensive end is going to have to be better as she has to get better every day at that end, and I think she's committed to that and she showed that. Carly, I think, is more complete right now, and that's why she's playing so many more minutes. Also positionally, that's been a huge thing. But to recognize their fearlessness. Is both kind of youthful enthusiasm and it's also swagger, and we'll take them both, and I think they've got both.
And where do you see them in terms of what you expected out of them as the season starts? And then the other part of it is, you know, you watch them play and you think to yourself, like, what do they project out to be? And what's their ceiling? And some players come in, I've seen this in a lot of sports, I've seen it on your team, I've seen it on the men's team many times, players come in and they make an immediate impact, and that's the player they are for 4 years. They never give you less or more as they go along.
Yep.
And you need players like that.
Of course.
You know? And
the
then
steadiness.
There's other players that come in as a freshman when you think, you know, like they got a ceiling here that's off the charts. And, and do you get a sense of that from, because you really have to look back at it at the end
of
a year or two or three even to know that. But I mean, do you get a
sense?
Yeah,
I love the question because I think Bella's a great example. You know, she came in and was really good right away. And she's 1,000 times better inside between the ears and physically than she was a year ago. And I think that Carly and Abby and McKenna and Sydney as our freshmen get a chance to look at that as a sophomore and say, man, you guys got a chance early and you're just the approach to get better and the competitiveness that Bella brings within combination with our seniors. I mean, Tia and Kenya and Leslie, they didn't play right away, but they competed right away, even though it was only in the practice floor early in their career. And so I think the sky's the limit for both of them. I think they could be big stars here. They could do something. You know, Carly wants to set the assist record in the Ivy League. Abby, I think, wants to set a scoring record. I mean, I think they can do that. But, you know, I always say the best players come from the best teams. And to your point earlier, how good can we be as a team is going to be how good they can be as individuals.
So I've written this a bunch of times, but I never really talked to you about this. But for all of the great accomplishments that your team's had in your time here and all the championships and everything else, one thing that's really stood out to me is... you have no idea what I'm going to say.
No, I'm ready, though. I think that the whole audience is.
The attendance at your games has gone from what it used to be, which is...
A drive-in movie theater, I think, was about what, I think the analogy I used.
To now, where it's, you know, an event, and, you know, it gets loud in there and all those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, first question is... Have you even noticed that or thought about that? Not this weekend, but like over the course of your time here, the way that the crowd has grown?
No doubt. I mean, when we first got here, I literally said to our kids, it's like playing in a drive-in movie theater. So it was part of our game keys was recognizing that we were going to have to create excitement amongst ourselves because there was going to be none. And that was both in terms of the quietness of the gym and also the lack of people in the gym. I mean, I was bribing my friends to come and saying I'll buy pitchers of beer after. And now I don't have enough tickets for the people that want to come. And it's been really fun. And they've earned it. I think our style of play is far more exciting than it was a year ago. So I think it's going to continue to increase. It's like you walk around the gym, and my staff now this year, we have our staff walk around the gym and say hi to our fans for the first 15 minutes right after I talk to the team. So kind of a half hour before the tip. And it's neat to me how many people they know and how many people know them. I think it's a really fun place. I kind of sometimes wish I could step back and just watch and be a part of the game in that way. But obviously I'm in my own role.
And then the flip side, the follow-up to that is, have you noticed the increase in men and boys who come to your game?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, it's not just the men's team. It's dads. And absolutely.
General.
After the Seton Hall game, one of the nice gentlemen came over and said, hey, I'm the guy that asked the questions. I emailed in the questions. And I recognized him, and I said, oh, my gosh. And he said, yeah, I'm the former high school principal of Kristen Helmstetter, who was, I think, the class of 2014. And you're just like, he's out at Seton Hall, you know. And it's just we've been able to – we've been able to get real basketball fans. It's not just people now. And
what do you think that says, though? You know, I mean,
yeah, I think our style of play.
I mean, I first started watching Princeton Women's Basketball in 1989.
Oh, gosh.
And, yeah, you wouldn't get, let alone a big crowd, but it would all be women and girls. And
yeah.
You'd have very few men. And I mean,
no
is
doubt.
That is that your team? Is that the growth of women's basketball, women's
sports? I think it's probably more so our team, to be honest, because we go on the road a lot and we don't have as many fans. I think we travel well. I think our parent group is committed to being there. I think we've been able to secure some local talent that are there. We had three recruits three people that are committed to the admissions process who were in the game. And even, you know, to give Tommy Frist a shout out, you know, he came to the at Seton Hall game. He also came to our first game, and we've just been getting really good fans. That John Berger was there. I mean, people that are Frank Zawinski, people that are big basketball fans, there to see our team. I think it says a lot about the excellence that we've had. I think it says a lot about the style of play. People like stars, and we've been able to recruit and develop some stars here at Princeton.
So the next game is the game Saturday, right?
Yeah, Saturday at 1.
At Davidson.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge this week is Thanksgiving and logistics,
yep.
and then heading down there and being ready to play.
Yeah, I think it's the first time on the schedule that we'll be on paper the better team, and that's a different animal. I know it sounds like, well, that's easy then, you just win it. It's like, it's a different mentality when you tell your team, I think you're the better team, you know, because we didn't know what we were in George Washington, and I don't know if on paper we were better than Seton Hall or Georgia Tech. I think on paper we are a little bit better than Davidson, but they've got nothing to lose. They're at home, and like you said, we're over kind of a holiday period. So we're a little beaten up.
What do you do for Thanksgiving, the whole team together?
Yeah, we're going down to – we're flying Thanksgiving Day down to Charlotte, and then we'll have dinner together, no family, because there's a lot of people that don't have families, don't arrive till Friday. And then we're doing some surprise activity with them, which we'll have to talk about next show. And then Friday we practice, and then they'll get some family time and some movie time and whatnot. And then we play Saturday, and we'll be home Saturday night.
And nothing to do with women's basketball, but the women's soccer team.
Oh, my gosh. It was so, Jerry, I got to tell you, we get out of the game, and I'm not exaggerating, our very top kid. We have so many recruits on campus. They were waiting to say hi to me, and we had people who had the soccer game up on their phones, and it was a very loud cheer when they say, oh, my gosh, soccer beat UNC, and it was neat for our recruits to see that, like, it's not about us. It's about collective excellence, and what Sean Driscoll's done and what his team has done, the captain Vanessa has done, is something that Princetonians can be proud of forever, and they've kind of they've put themselves with the win over UCLA on the men's side. They've put themselves with 30-0 on the women's side. They put themselves with Kazmaier winning the Heisman, and some of these, and obviously Ashley Johnson winning the water polo Olympic gold. I mean, there's so many great moments, and now women's soccer has their very own, and I know they've won a national championship, but beating
got to the Final Four.
Got the Final Four, winning Anson Dorrance. I mean, beating Anson Dorrance.
I mean, that's like beating UConn in the women's. It's unbelievable. Tournament. It's actually, like, statistically, it's better than beating UConn in the women's.
No doubt.
Tournament.
Also at the tournament. I mean, that's the thing.
In the tournament.
Anson Durant knows. He knows tournaments. They know tournament winning. And
21 of them.
Yeah. I mean, it really, and it's in soccer where the margin of error is so small. I mean, it was a convincing moment for, and a proud moment for all Princetonians. And it's why you're here. It's why you come to Princeton as a player. It's why you come to Princeton as a staff. It's why you stay. It's that excellence matters here.
I never got to finish my question, but that's basically what I would have asked you. You know,
we're like a battery.
Yeah, but just the general pride that you can take as a representative of Princeton and an accomplishment like that by a fellow Princeton team.
Yeah, you know, one of the great stories I tell recruits is that the year we won our fourth straight Ivy title, we were on the GPT site, and we all had the number 4 pulled up over our, you know, over our face, like, we won 4 in a row. Not exaggerating, 20 minutes later, the water polo team had 5. And that's the essence of Princeton, is that it's not about you. I think the humility of this place is why there's such a service-driven heart amongst our student-athletes and amongst our staff. But yeah, the collective, I mean, go soccer, we're rooting for you. Unfortunately, they're playing at 8:30 Eastern time. We'll be on an airplane. So the Wi-Fi business just moved up for US Air, and we're looking forward to it.
In women's soccer, it's Princeton at UCLA in the NCAA quarterfinals. That's 8:30 Eastern time, 5:30 in California Saturday, and the women's basketball game is 1 o'clock at Davidson, which is in North Carolina. And we'll talk about that game and look ahead as the schedule moves forward from there next week when we come back on the Court Report. So thanks again for being with us.
We appreciate
all your support.
Absolutely. I love it, Jerry. Thanks a lot for having me. I'm having fun.
Thanks to everybody who's been listening, and have a great Thanksgiving.